humility. We started talking about humility last time. We're in Masalat Yesharim, chapter 23. I think there's some books over here. So, we talked about how to get humility, and now we're going to talk about how not to lose it. What things cause loss of humility? And so number one he talks about is the weakness of a person's mind. Okay? The mind fools a person more to the side of making mistakes than to be right all the time. And therefore, a person's got to be careful all the time to keep learning. Because if he doesn't learn all the time, he's going to make mistakes. And a person should always listen to advice. Because if a person doesn't listen to advice, he's going to make mistakes. And that's what Pirkei Avot says in chapter 4. Ezu hacham arami mikol adam. Who is a wise man? A person who learns from others. So the humility brings a person to learn. A person that has the humility will not learn from others. A person that does not learn from others will not become wise. So it's very, very important. This key to have humility is the secret of wisdom. However, there are things that cause humility to a person to lose humility. What are they? Number one, eating and drinking too much or too much wealth. Wealth is one of the big causes of loss of humility, as you see today. I'm not going to go into details, but everyone knows what I'm talking about. First is very, very wealthy. I mean, why should he be humble? He has everything. He tells other people what to do. Hordes of other people what to do. And why should he be humble? So you see all the dictators. Dictators are not humble at all. They're very not humble. So humility is lost through wealth. That's interesting. And the Torah says that explicitly in Devarim chapter 8. It says, Pen tochal v'savata, in case you will eat and be satisfied. V'ram levacha, and your heart will get high. So by eating and drinking and being merry and having everything, a person's heart gets high. It means a person gets gava. They have everything. They don't need anything. This is very dangerous, and pride comes before the fall. We know that. And Hashem's world also, Hashem arranges for a person with pride to fall eventually. And we see Haman was a classic example. Very, very proud. Everyone has to bow down to him.
And then he rose again.
He rose on the tree. Yeah, on the tree. Way. That's not called rising. Okay. And therefore, so that's why the Hasidim, the early pious ones, would sometimes fast. Because they have everything, and the pride goes to the head. So they artificially lower themselves by fasting. Artificially. In order to lower oneself, and to lower one's Yetzirah, this is very scary. The Yetzirah, the more a person has, the more the Yetzirah grows with it. It's a big test. The test of wealth is a tremendous test. So the Yetzirah gets, obviously a person has more workers they have, more people they tell what to do. Person's power. Person becomes power hungry. He gets more and more and more.
Okay, so somebody who's materialistic and you say, look what the Mesillas Yesharim says to you, how would they respond? Someone who's Naval Bishus Torah.
So Naval Bishus Torah, he doesn't care what the Mesillas Yesharim says.
Well, what will he say to somebody who says, look what we have here?
He's going to say, who cares what the Ramchal says? I don't care about the Ramchal. But if he has Yirat Shemayim, which we're going to talk about next, that's the next topic. If he has Yirat Shemayim, he'll try and alter and try and figure out, I'm wealthy, you know what? Hashem gave me the wealth. And that's one of the important mitzvot, because we're going to remember every single day. As far as we say every day. Ki hu anotenecha kol asot chayil. I'm wealthy, but who gave me the power to be wealthy? That's the key. And that causes humility. That's true humility. Humility is, I achieved something, but it wasn't me. It was Hashem gave me the power. And that's David HaMelech. David HaMelech was humble. How was he humble? He fought the wars, and he won the wars. And then he said, it wasn't me, it was Hashem gave me the strength to fight the wars. I beat Goliath, but it wasn't me. Hashem gave me the power. So that's a very important tool. Person's wealthy, but they got to remember, wealth comes and goes. The rabbis say wealth is a cycle in the world. As we know, the economic cycle. The first economic cycle was in the time of Yosef, every 7 years. And you see it today. It's the economy, every 7-8 years, there's another boom and bust. It's called the boom and bust cycle. It's amazing. Nothing's really changed. So a person's going to say, listen, one day I'm wealthy. And I see it in my generations. I can look back at my grandfather, My great-grandfather was very wealthy. My grandfather was wealthy, but not as wealthy. My father and me, forget about it. It goes around and around. It's a cycle. Suppose it says, you know what, right now I'm on the top of the cycle. There's a beautiful story of Rav Sadia Gaon. Rav Sadia Gaon was on the Geonim who lived in Babylon. And one day he became very wealthy in Babylon. Very, very wealthy. He bought gold plates for the Seder. So he tells his trusted servant, go and dip them in the mikvah. So where's the mikvah? In the sea, the river. There's the river. And some of the gold plates, some of his knives and forks, golden knives and forks, the river's moving fast and wash them away. He said, listen, what I'm going to do, I'm not going to tell my master, he's going to go crazy with me. And he has so much gold and silver, he's not going to miss it even. You watch. He goes home, takes most of the cutlery, came back, puts it back, doesn't say a word, the master doesn't say a word. The following year, he goes to the river. Again, he's got more stuff to dip. What happens? The gold and cutlery that he lost comes to the surface. So, wow, he says, it's amazing. I've never seen it like this. The gold comes up. I've got to tell my master this. He goes to Rasadia going, he says, Rasadia, please don't get angry with me. I'm going to tell you something, but it's a good ending. Please don't get angry. I'm going to tell you something, very good ending. So last year, remember you bought the new cutlery and I dipped in the mikveh? Well, I lost some of the knives and forks. Before you, don't get angry. This year, when I went to dip more stuff, the knives and forks came up. It's unbelievable. To his surprise, Rasadia going started crying. Started crying. So since that day he started losing money. Sadia Gaon. He lost money. Till eventually he got so sick he was on his bed. And the doctor came and said, you're dead, that's it, you're dying. He started laughing. And from that time on his mazal changed to become better and better and better. So he got back all his wealth. So he says, it's a cycle in life. When a person reaches the top of their cycle, there's nowhere else to go but down. That's why I started crying. You, that's it. I reached the top. The gold goes up in the water. That's everything goes well. It's dangerous and it's the end of the cycle. So now the cycle of bust. But when I got to the point where I'm dying, that cycle of bust came to the end and that's it. So anyway, that's the life in the world. That's the life in this world. We all go through cycles in life. We have to pray to Hashem. Our cycles shouldn't be too high and not too low. Everything in moderation. It's good to live a life in moderation. Middle class. Upper middle class, okay. Middle class. Not too high. So what should a person do when the money goes to their head? And the answer is they've got to realize where the money came from. The bracha came from Hashem. That's got to realize all the time. The bracha came from Hashem. And Hashem can take it away. Hashem can give. How many people lost their money? Look. Think about the Second World War. How many people put their money in Switzerland? And the Zenas didn't see it. Until recently it was. To the banks. They hire lawyers to fight the banks. And by then, the guy was dead already. He never saw his money. So he saved up all his money, whatever it is. So it's really a gift from God. Hashem gives, and Hashem takes. So we have to realize that all the time, it's all a present from God. A person shouldn't get proud and say, you know what, I did it. And that's what the Torah says. And that's exactly what the Torah says. Pen, tochav savata, ramen vavcha, your heart will get, you'll eat and drink, and you'll say, your heart will get haughty and say, Ani, I did this greatness. I made this greatness. Suppose you shouldn't think that way. So it's humility is not to think that way. Humility is everything came from God. So the pride comes from excess, as we say. And he quotes a pasuk in the Gemara. The Gemara says in Brachot, En arino hem mitoch kupa shel teve. A lion who's eating straw doesn't roar. Only when he eats meat, that's when he starts roaring. He's not proud, he's not boasting about his eating straw, right? He says, same thing to human beings. Human beings are on low levels, they're not proud. Nothing to be proud about. When it gets high levels, they start roaring, they start getting proud. Okay, so that's one of the things that remove a person from humility is possessions. Person has possessions. I'm better off than most people in the world. The pride goes to the person's head. So the way of counteracting that is by thinking it came from Hashem. It wasn't me. Hashem gave me the power to become wealthy. However, he says, the biggest loss of humility is foolishness. Now this is usually, we have to try and understand what that means. Biggest loss of humility is foolishness. What does that mean? Foolishness in the sense that a person doesn't know what he doesn't know. He thinks he knows everything. So a person who doesn't know what he doesn't know is the most dangerous person. thinks he knows everything. That's foolishness. And that's why the bigger the rabbi, the more humble they are. Why? Because the more you know, you don't know.
The more they climb up the mountain, the more they see how much there
exactly,
is out there.
Exactly. There's so much. There's tons of so much. You learn Chumash, what about the Orlo? What about Mishnah? What about Gemara? You learn Gemara, okay, so what about those other things? Shulchan Aruch, Shulchan Mishpat, those other things. You learn Chumash Mishnah, you learn the whole Peshat. What about the Kabbalah? Oh boy, that's a whole different world. It's amazing. You consider if a person who learned whole Gemara, but he sits in a Shira Kabbalah, will start crying. Doesn't understand a word! Happened to me. Doesn't understand a word! It's like, it's a whole new world. You've got to start from Aleph Bet already. It's amazing. There's so much to know. Normally, when a person learns Torah, they should understand what they're learning. When it comes to reading Zohar, you can read and get Zohar without understanding a word. Why? Because no one understands it properly. Nobody understands it.
Applies to all of Tanakh. Doesn't it apply to the entirety of Tanakh, but not Torah Shebaal Peh?
Tanakh, you have to also understand. You should try to understand. Try your best, you know. The meaning of the words, that's the minimum. Meaning of the words. Torah Shebaal Peh, you should understand the concepts. But Tanakh, at least, understand the words. But Zohar, you know, it doesn't make a difference what you understand. It doesn't make a difference. So people do understand it, but in different levels. But no one understands it fully. No one can grasp it. It's very, very deep. So therefore he says, the biggest cause of loss of humility is foolishness. And what is foolishness? Foolishness is lack of true knowledge. Lack of Torah knowledge. Right? So we see that a person who's a Amaretz, biggest Baal Gava, can't argue with him. He knows everything. Right? What do the rabbis know? What does this one know? What does that know? Biggest Baal Gava. Why? He doesn't know what he doesn't know. He has no concept. There's so much knowledge. No concept. You know, most people, unfortunately, they have two books in the house. They have a Siddur and a Chumash. If they're lucky. Most Jews, what do they have? If they're lucky. They're probably New Testament. Wrong Chumash. They have a Siddur and a Chumash. Maybe a Chumash in English, or a Tanakh in English, if you're lucky. So they don't see. Look, come here and look at the books. Go to the Hebrew University, Givat Ram, and their library, they have 7 stories. That's why I think it's the biggest. A lot of people go there to learn because they have manuscripts and other things. Like, massive. Huh?
7 stories
only? 7 stories high. You know what I mean? It's a joke. So it's massive. It's like, and that's just a portion of the books. All the Sfarim written, you can imagine all the Sfarim written. And how you going? So Rav Avadia Yosef was amazing. He had a photographic memory. He would memorize the Sfarim. He made a deal with a bookstore owner. They could just sit there and just read the books. So the books were going up to the top of the shelf. He'd take a ladder, and sometimes he was so engrossed in the book he'd forget he's on the ladder. He fell down the ladder once, he hurt his back. Really, he had back pain all his life. There's so many Sfarim. And every day someone's writing another Sefer. So how much knowledge do we have? We're getting proud. The person's proud, I know so much. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble person. Why?
He knew the most,
and he knew what he didn't know. He knew this how much there is, and I know that. It says Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol. Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol was Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus. And Baruch Hashem, I went to see his kever. I was at his kever a few weeks ago. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus is buried near the Rambam. Yochanan ben Zakkai and his students are buried. Well, the Rambam is buried near them. I say it properly. The Rambam is buried near them. So I was by his kever. He says, before he died, he said, my two hands are like 2 Sefer Torah. But I learned from my rabbis as much as a dog can lick from the ocean. Imagine. There's so much Torah out there. And when I die, thousands of law halachot are going to be lost. On one topic. Thousands of halachot. When he died, we lost so much. So can you imagine with his rabbis, Hillel, how much Hillel knew. And his student, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, how much did he know? Every time it goes down in the ages. So the Gemara, the rabbis bring in the Gemara parable to show how, and this is actually Shlomo Melech says in Mishlei, it says the noise from a fire of twigs is a lot of crackling, but the heat is very low. And as the fools, they make a lot of noise. But the intensity of what they know is very low.
That's
similar to
coin with a bottle.
Yeah, same thing. So you have a small coin, makes a lot of money, but paper money doesn't make any noise. So the guy's shaking his money, he shakes the sucker box, right? Makes a lot of noise. How much is in there? You know, it's the same idea. The people who know a lot, they don't make noise. People who don't know much, they make a lot of noise. And there's different parables brought down here. One of the parables is the parable of a tree which has no fruits. Apparently trees which have no fruit, they make a lot of noise in the wind, because nothing weighing them down, so they shake a lot. There's no fruits weighing them down. Whereas Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the greatest of all men, by the way, I saw this line on the grave of Rambam. I have a picture of it. So it says, Moshe shumufchar mikol ha'adam. He was chosen from all men. So it's on the grave of the Rambam as well. Nifchar mikol enosh, he says over there. That was on the old kever. They moved that stone, they built a brand new one. So it's on the side. He was humbler than anyone else. He was more humble than anyone else in the world. He was a chosen person. Why was he chosen? Hashem chose him because he was humble. If you can imagine, think of Hashem's humility. Can't imagine. Hashem's the greatest. He's also humble enough to create us. Our father creates, why would I want to create people? And cause confusion. The angel said, you know, that's why the Midrash says, why did Hashem cause man to sleep? Because the angel thought that man is a god as well. In other words, why did Hashem create man and give people a chance, opportunity to say he's not the greatest? He just left it. He's humble. He's humble. Take the chance. He's humble enough. Hashem is amazing. Okay, so number one we said is possessions. People can lose their humility because they think they have everything. Very dangerous. Have everything. Number two is, we said, is a brother thinks he's a big shot. He knows a lot. Opposite. Person who knows more, you find the great rabbi is very humble. Very, very humble. Totally humble. Because they know. I know. How much do I know? I mean, I know. I may know the whole of Shas. But then I gotta know what's left. I gotta know the whole Shulchan Aruch. I gotta know this. So even a person knows. Even then, they know there's more. There's much more. The third issue, which causes lack of humility, is who you hang around with. That's probably the worst one. Yeah. Here we are. Chapter 23.
Before the internet.
Forget about the internet. Where you spend your time. You go to work. Who do you hang around with? Person who works in finance. Who do you hang around with? These big shots. Guys, the big. And the more wealth they have, the more gava they have. So you hang around with these people. Just watching TV, watching the politicians. That's where pride is. So hanging around people with pride. Or hanging around people who flatter. Oh boy. Flatterers. You're the best, you're the greatest, we're going to talk about the kings in those days. Who would hang around them? All the courtiers. You think the courtiers are going to tell them anything bad? They'll kill them. They had a flatterer. That's their whole thing. They had a flatterer. So the flatterer, you see the Roman emperors, they went mad. They made themselves gods. Why? Because they're surrounded by people who are flattering them all the time. You're the greatest. There's no one like you in the world. So I say, okay, so I'll make myself into a god. That's what I am. So very dangerous. So who we hang around with? If you're married, don't worry. She's going to bring you down. She'll cut you to size.
Uh-oh.
She'll cut you down to size.
Pennsylvanians are humble by nature.
Yeah. Thank God.
You're Pennsylvanians?
Origins. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, the Quakers, Amish,
you name it. Yeah, I don't know. But I'm just saying, maybe they don't have as much wealth. They don't have as much wealth. They don't have as much power. But if you get a, I bet you, if you get one who made a lot of money, he becomes a big shot. That's the danger. There's people around who flatter the guy. So the flatterers, oh boy. Because a person eventually will get flattered. Even though he's a strong mind and he's very smart, eventually, when it's repeated over and over again, the guy will get flattered and will believe the falsehood. And he says, this is like poison. And he'll fall into the trap of pride. The poison is a flattery. It's amazing. The Torah says not to flatter. You're not allowed to flatter. What are you not allowed to flatter? You're not allowed to tell a lie in terms of the guy is not so great. Ah, yeah, great. You're not so, he's not so smart. You're smart. So, not allowed to flatter. That's a very, very hard thing. Okay. But there is the other Babi. And we find this case especially with the princes and the kings. Or anyone who's good at what they do. Which is very dangerous. Why? Because everyone's going to come and say, oh, you're so good. Eventually they think, ah, yes, I'm so good. And there's a pitfall for them. And they're destroyed because of the flattery of the servants. And therefore, a person who has eyes in his head, and a person who is far-sighted, should be very careful who is around them. Who is very careful that the person around them shouldn't flatter. It's very hard, you know, you're the big boss of a corporation, CEO. Most CEOs don't want to hear anything bad. If you say anything bad, you're out very quickly. But the smart CEOs will say, listen, give me comments. I want to improve this company. What's wrong? Let's fix it. But the idiot will say, no, I don't hear any negativity, no criticism. Can't take criticism. It's very hard. It's very hard to take criticism. And it takes a lot of humility to be able to take criticism. That's why you got to be humble to get married. I tell you. Can't get married without humility. Can't walk out every time something's wrong. And vice versa. The woman also. She's got to take criticism. Food's not so great, whatever it is. But it's going to be able to take criticism. And that takes humility. So he says, look at this. He says, food and drink may damage a person's body by overeating. However, friends or workers can destroy one's soul by giving them too much honor. David HaMelech Alav HaShalom Omer. David HaMelech says, Olech b'derech tamim hu yishartani. The one who walks with simplicity, he should be my servant. I don't want people who flatter around me. I want people who are simple. Don't flatter us. And then a person should find friends who are simple and straight. And it will shine their eyes on him. Instead of a person who's blind and won't rebuke him. A person should have friends who will rebuke him. Oh boy. Not easy. And they will save the person from pride. Listen, if we don't save ourselves, we don't save ourselves from pride, Hashem will arrange, unfortunately we don't want to get to that point, Hashem will arrange a way to not make us pride. And that's not pleasant. It's not pleasant at all. Okay, so that's pride. So let's just recap. We said pride is very, very fundamental. Humility is so fundamental. Why is humility so fundamental? That Moshe Rabbeinu had to be the most humble person. Why? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu? Learn. Okay, what else? But don't forget who he was. Who was Moshe Rabbeinu?
Leader.
What else?
King.
What else?
Prophet.
He was the biggest prophet. What does a prophet do? Relays Hashem's message.
Has revelation, has an interpersonal connection with Hashem more so than other people.
Very good, okay. So now why do you need humility? The answer is because a person with ego is bound to misinterpret the message. And put their ego into the message. I think, happened to me once, it's a very big test. There was an Israeli rabbi and they asked me to translate. Oh boy. It's very hard to translate and not add something. It's very hard, especially if you know more, you think you know a lot. You can add some juice to the speech. So, it's very dangerous. You can add juice to the speech. Happens sometimes in these politicians, they have conferences and the interpreter is smarter than the politician and he adds some juice to the speech and then he gets in trouble because he added too much. So that's a prophet. A prophet has to relay with truth what he heard. Can I add anything? Can't make it more spicy, more juicy. And that takes a lot of humility. It takes a lot of humility. Maybe, you know, yeah, spice it up a little bit. Sounds better. Sounds good. No. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was the prophet who could see clearly. What do you mean he could see clearly? It wasn't filtered through his ego. The message was not filtered through his ego. Whenever someone talks to us, we filter what they're saying through our ego. They can't be saying this about me. No, possible. It changes everything around, because the ego changes everything around. So we want to hear what we want to hear. The person really wants to hear what they want to hear. Unless they're humble, then they can hear what the person really wants to say. If they're not humble, we just twist everything around. There. We rationalize everything. So that's why Moshe Rabbeinu had to be humble. So to be the biggest prophet in the world, he had to be the most humble. Now we have to understand, what is the whole purpose of Misalat Yisharim? It says at the beginning is to give us the path to be able to receive prophecy. All these things, all these traits, he's telling us, are the path to receive prophecy. So a person has to have humility to be able to receive prophecy. If he's not humble, he's not going to have prophecy. Very simple. And that's the difference between a true prophet and a false prophet. What's a false prophet? Why is he called a prophet? He should be called Mr. False Nobody. He's called a false prophet. Why is he called a false prophet? Because he would have prophecy. But his message would be distorted. He would distort the message of the prophecy. Because if he threw his ego, through his pride, he distorted the message of the prophecy. That's a false prophet. He's a prophet, but he's a false prophet, like Bilam. He tried his best. We just read last week. He tried his best to take God's message and distort it. So God says, you won't go with these men. Okay, I won't go with these men, I'll go with different men. Gosh, he twists everything as much as possible. That's a false prophet. He's a prophet. But everything Hashem says, he distorts the message. So that's a guy with pride. And that's the difference between Moshe Rabbeinu and Bilam. Now we come to chapter 24, which is really heavy duty. This is Yirat Chet. Now, there's different levels over here. Yirat Chet literally means fear of sin. The lower level is fear of punishment. There's a lower level. There's fear of punishment, there's fear of sin, and there's fear of Hashem. There's different levels. Even the fear of Hashem is different levels. Why are you scared of Hashem? So here, it's a high level already. It's not fear of punishment, it's fear of the sin itself. What do you mean fear of sin? What does that mean, fear of sin?
Slippery slope.
But why fear of sin? What do you mean, fear the sin? Why do you fear sin? Okay, so what is sin compared to? Poison!
Yeah.
Spiritual poison! Would you keep poison in your house? No. On the table? Why not? What do you do with it?
Potentially put myself in danger.
Exactly. Lock it up somewhere. Same thing with sin. Sin is poison for the soul.
I think people are that holy. Think people are afraid of punishment more. It's
exactly.
Fear of the sin.
That's what I said. There's different levels.
We're not on that level yet.
But if we knew what the sin is doing to us, we would be. And that's what we have to talk about. That's what we have to think about. It's like jumping off a cliff. That's why the rabbis made a gezerah. They made a fence. They made fences around sin. Why make fences around sin? Because they compared the person sinning to jumping off a cliff and destroying. If we could see what things would do to our soul, if we could see our soul and what it does to the soul, we just would keep away. We can't see it. So the person knows, poison, I'm going to be in bed, I'm going to be sick, I'm going to go to hospital, doctor, might die. But sin, we don't see the effects of the sin. That's a trouble. We can't see it. It's invisible. It's insidious. You can't see it. So that is Yirat Chet. Let's try and explain what Yirat Chet is. Ramchal. This is the last of all the good traits, which means the highest level. Yirat Chet, fear of sin itself, is like the last, climbing up the ladder. This is one of the last rungs on the ladder, spirituality. So humility is one of the higher rungs, true humility. But one of the highest rungs is Yirat Chet. If this is one of the last of all the good traits, it must be very, very high. That's what he's saying. It must be very, very major. It must be very, very fundamental. This is one of the top traits. Because and also the higher it gets to the ladder, the harder it is to get to it. Much harder to attain it. It's like climbing up the mountain. It's much harder to get to it. Because you cannot get there unless you already climb the rest of the ladder, which all the other traits that come before it. So Yirat Chet is like the last thing after you get humility and after you get all the other chassidut and all the other things and go into all these different levels. You cannot get there until you have all the previous traits. However, there are different types of Yirat Chet. There are two types of fear, and there are really three. One of them is very easy to get to. Nothing easier. The next one is harder, and the second part of the next one is hardest. And then we go into details that we talked about a little bit. Yes, Yirat Ha'onesh, there's fear of punishment. So it's part of Yirat Chet, it's the lowest level. That's number one. Fear of punishment. And people are scared of punishment. Today we're not so scared of punishment. We're more scared of losing what we have. Getting sick. But, you know, things like that. That's Yirat Ha'onesh. Okay. And then there's a high level. Yesh Yirat HaRoMimut. Fear of God. That's a high level. That's the second level. And included in that, the second level of that is fear of sin. I would have thought fear of sin is number two and fear of God is number three. He says no. Fear of God is number two. Fear of sin is higher. We have to explain what is the difference between them. Now he's going to go into details. Number one is fear of punishment. Kapshuto. Literally. A person is scared, he's going to transgress, and God is going to punish him. Fear of punishment. Huh? Lowest level. Lowest level of fear.
So, Yirat Shammai is a big topic.
Exactly.
The lowest level is
fear of punishment. Yeah, that's most people.
Does he use the phrase Yirat Shammai?
No, he uses Yirat Chet. Or Yirat Romimut. Romimut is fear of the high one, the fear. That's when we say Yirat Shammai, it's a similar idea, concept. So, a person's scared, what's going to happen to his body, what's going to happen to his soul? There's a good movie we're going to show Tisha B'Av, right? About the afterlife. Oh, you got to come and see this movie. Oh. We're going to show a couple of movies. Tisha B'Av, this Tisha B'Av is going to be movie day. We're going to show about the Rambam's life, Rashi's life.
No popcorn.
Only for sick people. Spiritual popcorn. Popcorn of the soul. Okay. So that's number one is simple. Fear. Or punishment. People are scared. But even to get to that level is high. A person's going to know there is punishment as well. Read the Torah. Yeah, a person's going to read the Torah, otherwise everything's chance. Amalek. Haman. Everything's chance. You know. Some people live, some people die, some people get hurt. Some people, you know. Hashem makes the world with this. It's easy to have free choice. He makes the world counterbalance. The righteous people are suffering, the wicked people are suffering. Well, where's the punishment? It's a first. So the answer is that a person has to have Yirat Ha'onesh. It's a quiet thing. It's not something which comes naturally. Yirat Ha'onesh. So that's also high level. It's to get to Yirat Ha'onesh, you have to go through all the other levels. So it's also a high level. A person has to have humility to be able to say, if I do this, there is a God in the world. A person's going to recognize there's a God in the world. Pardon?
Well, it's not about showing mitzvot, it's about more than that. It's about not doing things that are not necessarily mitzvot, but just transgressions.
Yeah, transgressions, right. Averot. Not doing any kind of sin. There's a payment. It's you know, some things, is, the Kabbalah says, some things there's no payment straight away. Some things, after 50 years in Olamabai, the small things. This is a bad thought when they're wearing their tefillin. Okay, but they want tefillin. 50 years, 60 years, 100 years, 2,000 years, I don't know how many years after, they start examining the person's thoughts. Scary stuff. Nothing is lost. Nothing. Not a single thing is lost. Hashem does not lose anything. And the same thing applies to mitzvot. The person does a mitzvah. The person does a mitzvah with joy, and he does a mitzvah with intentions. And he does every year he's getting payments for that. So that's why we need to do teshuva. Teshuva is fantastic. Could raise all the garbage and make it even good. which you're going to see different levels of teshuvah. So he says, "En yirazuru yai l'ami aretz." This lowest level of fear of punishment is only fit for people who are ignorant. I won't say the next line. But it's not the way the wise do it. People who are wise don't have this. They have more than this. This is basic. Halavai, we should all have this basic. Halavai, we should all have basic. He's talking by himself. Ramchal. It's basic. Basic commodity is Yirat HaOnesh. Everyone should have that. But it's not the way to remain. But it's going to grow out of it and go even higher. Halavai, we have this. Halavai, we have Yirat HaOnesh. Today we have so many distractions we don't really think about the outcome of the deed. I'm running for this job, I'm running here, I'm running there. Okay, so I didn't say shackle. Well, what's going to happen? Well, if you read about dibuks and everything, you'll say, you better say it. Yeah. Hamina Sheni, second level. Yirat HaRovimut. Why? Keep away from sin. Not because of punishment, because God is watching. Hashem is here watching. Hashem is watching everything I do. It's scary. It's a scary thought. That's one of my favorite stories, right? A rabbi who's getting a ride in a cart. You know this one, right? You get a ride in the cart, and the wagon driver says, "Keep a watch out for me. I'm just going to go and steal some hay from the field. The horse is hungry." So just shout out if anyone's watching. The driver runs to the field, get the hay. He's bringing the hay, and all of a sudden the rabbi starts screaming, somebody's watching, quickly run! He drops the hay and he runs, and he gets on the wagon, he starts galloping, the horse is galloping. He turns around, not see anyone. He says, "Rabbi, who's watching?" "Hashem is watching." It's hard to imagine that. That's Yirat Romimut. That's fear of the Romimut of Hashem. Fear of Hashem. Hashem is watching. Would you speed if there's a cup in your rear view mirror? And yet, huh? Hopefully. Yeah, in Edison you would, if you go too slow. I saw a guy, I couldn't believe my eyes. I was driving to the Poconos a few years ago. And I saw a cop, I moved to the right. Okay, stay in the slow lane, keep within the speed limit. But there's a guy in the fast lane. And he's semi on the speed limit. And the cop's right behind him. He's an Indian. He said, "Hamor." He sees the cop in his rear view. It doesn't move. He's going 51 miles an hour. So the cop gave him a break, right? Minute after minute. I'm watching this. Until finally the cop puts on his lights, pulls him to the side, gives him a ticket. I don't know what for. Maybe it's obstruction. Maybe it's... I don't know what he got a ticket for, but he's just tempting the fate. You know? You're going 1 mile over. Maybe it's speedometer. You can argue speedometer's out. But the car's right behind you. Just get out of the way. Move out of the way. No. He's defying the cop. Last thing you want to do is defy him. So that's exactly the point. If Hashem is watching, it's horrible. Where what is, you know. What? The high level. High.
I place Hashem before me always.
Yeah. Shaviti Hashem Negdi Tamid. That's David HaMelech says. And it's the first halakha in Shulchan Aruch. It's not really. The first halakha is get up like a lion to serve God. The remark comes along straight away. It says, Shiviti Hashem Negdi Tamid is the main idea of the Torah. Always think about God. So there's no debate. If you really think about Hashem, you're definitely going to get up like a lion. Think about Hashem. The truth is, the Mishnah Berurah says you shouldn't get up like a lion. You shouldn't get up abruptly. It's not good for the health.
8 seconds
in a few seconds to adjust. So that's the biggest time to get heart attacks. People get heart attacks when they change rapidly what they're doing. They said slow down, but still like a lion, which means you want to get up. You're eager to get up.
So they said with Modani for the 8 seconds before moving.
Okay, nice. Which is, you can say Modani sleeping. That's why there's no God's name. You can say it with dirty hands, Modani. So can you imagine, a person says, "I can't do it because Hashem is here. Hashem is watching me right now." I mean, how many people are on that level, Madriga, of saying, "Hashem is watching me right now"? And one of the techniques to be able to get to that level is, how a person eats, how a person dresses, especially how a person behaves in the bathroom. Because by doing that, a person has some kind of sense that someone is watching me right now.
The stare at the wall is coming to witness.
Exactly. Oh, that's scary. So through fear of God's honor, how can I do this? How can I do this in front of God? And this is not easy to get. So we have to thank God we can say we're not that level yet. It's not easy. Mishnah Misra Yisharim says it's not easy to get to that level. Ki lo tivaled ela betoch yediya v'haskara. This only comes through knowledge that God is everywhere. You have to really work on this. Work constantly, a person can remember Hashem is everywhere. Hashem is everywhere. En od milvado. There's nothing else except for God. Everything is God. Nothing else. Hashem is everywhere. A person's got to think all the time of the greatness of Hashem and how low we are. And that brings a person to fear of God. And that's the second level of this. Vayevosh Adam v'yecharad ba'omdo lefnei kolam. And through this, a person will be embarrassed when they stand before God. Would be scared. You know, it's the Ben Ish Chai brings this down. He says, we go back 3 steps before the Shemoneh Esrei. Why do we go back 3 steps?
To wind up.
So he says, because we're running away from God, we're scared. Fear of Hashem. Yirat Hashemai. That's Yirat Hashemai. I'm going to go stand in front of God and talk to God. Scared stiff. I feel today I'm not scared of anything. Because they don't really know who they're standing in front of. I have to envision it. Going back 3 steps. Says the Jews at Har Sinai, they ran 3 parsaot. They ran away from the mountain. They heard the first 2 commandments and they ran. Can't take it anymore. I'm going mad. I'm going driving. Can you imagine what it's like? You can't even think. Well, we just witnessed some thunder and lightning. That's just child's play for Hashem. Think of the great power of Hashem. Create the whole world. Come on. I can't imagine. Create the universe. We have no concept of the greatness of Hashem. If we did, we tremble. What happens when they get prophecy? It says everyone who got prophecy, fall flat. You can't. It says when the Kohen Gadol would say Shema Farashim in the Kohen, everyone would fall flat. Now why are they falling? Are they falling flat because they want to fall flat? So I think so. I think they're just falling flat because they hear God's name, just fall flat. You can't stand up. You lose the power to stand up. That's the power of Hashem. You can't stand. Kohen Gadol. He had to be a holy man, otherwise I was going to say God's name, you know. So therefore, that's it. That's the second level. Second level is fear of Hashem himself. Lirat Hashem nichbad vanora. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu says in Devarim chapter 28. To be fearful of God, the honorable God, the wondrous God, the awesome God. Your God. But there's a third level, which is fear of sin itself, which is part of the second level. However, it's still separate a little bit. That a person should be fearful and worry all the time about his deeds. Maybe it's not so good. Maybe there's something small, even if there's something mitzvah, not so good. I'm going to end off this story. This is Rav Sadia going again. Rav Sadia going. He stays in a hotel. And no one knows who he is. He stays in the hotel. Bye. One day, the innkeeper comes and starts screaming, crying. Rabbi, Rabbi, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. Forgive for what? I didn't know who you were. If I knew who you were, I'd have served you much better. I'd give you nicer sheets. He said, I have no complaints. Sheets are clean, bed's clean. No, but you don't understand. If I knew who you were, I would have served you much better. He said, that's the level we're talking about now. If you really know who Hashem is, we would do much better. If we really knew. So number 2 is Yirat Ramut.
Fear of God and or refrain from ever.
Both. Both. If we knew who Hashem is, we'd serve him, we'd run. We have no concept of greatness of Hashem.
It's like a test.
The whole world is a test. That's our mission now. The soul is put here as a test. This is a test. We're in the exam hall.
Israel.
We're in the examination hall right now. All of us. And Hashem can read, not just he can read our minds. That's the dangerous part. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. That's the worst part. So that's why you have to do the teshuva constantly. Just, there's a beautiful, the Ben Ish Chai in the beginning of the Siddur. He brings down what's called a Gilui Da'at. You know what Gilui Da'at is? A revealing of intentions. Right? Yeah, that's the one. He brings that amazing, it's an amazing thing. A person should try and do at least once a year or more. It's in Hebrew, unfortunately. Well, got to try and translate it. It's an amazing concept, which is doing bitul, annulling one's thoughts. Annulling one's bad thoughts. Yeah. It's not bitul. This is more powerful. In other words, this high level. Vidui is for our deeds. Here, this is on one's thoughts. A person annulling their thoughts and saying, my bottom line is, I want to serve you, Hashem. So even though we forget it sometimes, it's good to remind. Except for idolatry. And some say immorality, but hopefully not. But this, any other thoughts? Thoughts. We all have thoughts during the day, whatever. We see things.
Added
we do
to the action if the action, huh? If the action occurs, then they get to add it on to the action as well.
Oh, I thought, yeah, sure. But here, so it synchronizes. We're synchronizing our will with God. In fact, we say this every day in the Shemone Esrei. Yulu Ratzorim Fi, V'yonu Fene Hashem Esrei Bali. Please, Hashem, I want to synchronize my will to your will. But there's a beautiful idea. Okay, so there's three different levels. Just to finish off. The first level is fear of punishment. Second level is fear of Hashem himself. And the third level is even higher. Fear of sin is not really fear of sin. It's fear, if I knew who God was, I would never do these things. It's really part, that's what he says, it's really part of the second part. If I knew the true greatness of God, I would never rebel against him. And plus, when I serve him, I'd serve him way better. Imagine if you walk the shul in the morning. Comes in. If we knew who God was, we'd be waiting outside. Before the shul started. We'd be really...
Like Freddy.
Had they known,
they would
have done more?
Exactly. Have we known? Who was
there? Maybe those are the Ohalim they were talking about.
Yeah. Think about it.
But how does fear of Hashem precede fear of sin?
Because if you knew who you're serving, you'd serve him better. Whatever he said, yes, no, be better. Mm-hmm. We don't know who he said, so we have no fear of sin.
Gotcha.
The truth is, there's another level of fear of sin, which I think is more closer to fear of punishment. That is what the sin does to us, as I talked about before.
Uh-huh.
So it's fear of punishment. But part of the fear of punishment is also this fear of what the sin it does to us physically and spiritually. That's punishment. But he's talking about a different level of fear of sin. It's the sin because we didn't serve God properly if we didn't know who he was. We will stop here.